This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. More than 2.5 million Americans have served their country in the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's estimated that at least 20% of them suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder because of their service. Now, there's a new treatment option being hailed as a miracle method. It is neck injections. The Triangle-based organization RTI International received a $2.5 million grant from the Defense Department to conduct trials of the technique at three Army hospitals. Womack Army Medical Center at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, is one of the facilities that's using the new treatment on service members as part of this trial. WUNC military reporter Jay Price reported on the new treatment and joins me now. Welcome back, Jay.
Oh, thanks for having me, Frank.
What is this treatment?
Well, it's called stellate ganglion block. And, you know, essentially they inject a local anesthetic into a group of nerves in the patient's neck. And it's been around for a while, but not necessarily for this.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're calling it new, but the treatment itself isn't new. It's just the application for PTSD that's new.
Exactly. It's been around for decades for use in treating certain kinds of upper body pain, physical pain. And it's been used for a few years now for PTSD. Several hundred service members have gotten it. But there's not been a major clinical trial of this type to kind of provide kind of gold standard answers about whether it is actually effective or not. Although the reports of kind of those veterans who have received it, you know, generally are really good.
And who's eligible for this?
Well, for this study, they're recruiting active duty military who have PTSD, and they're doing it at three different Army medical centers, of course, Womack at Fort Bragg, but also one in Hawaii and one at Landstuhl in Germany.
What are the risks?
Well, there aren't huge, huge risks. Like any other medical procedure, there are risks. But again, it's been around for decades and it's proved safe and effective for use in treating those types of pain that they use it for. So the risks aren't significant in this case. And that's one of the attractive things about this. It's a very attractive thing to be studying for several reasons. One is they're not, as you say, testing it for you. It's not just that they're using it for PTSD, but it's been used for a long, long time. So it isn't experimental. A lot of times someone will go into a study thinking, oh, I'm not sure I really want to do this. I don't want to be a guinea pig maybe. And, you know, in this case, they're not really experimenting with whether the procedure is safe or not. They're trying to figure out whether it's effective or not. Also, it's relatively simple and it's quick. And in a sense, it helps patients move away from that stigma of having a mental illness and kind of toward more as viewing this as something more of a physical problem. You know, a general anesthetic, kind of a shot into the nerves in your neck, you know, that's more like having a physical ailment than a psychiatric problem.
And it's interesting. When they apply this in other applications, when they do it to anesthetize pain, is the pain local? Is it in the trunk, the thorax, around the shoulders where you would expect or is it?
Typically it's head, you know, the face, neck, upper chest, upper arms, or in some cases, if you've got a missing limb to eliminate the pain.
That phantom
that is,
pain?
You know, that kind of imaginary limb pain.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where it's used, and that's where it has been effective. Now we're finding good evidence that it could be effective in PTSD. We've got this trial, and in fact, you spoke with someone who received the treatment, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's Dennis Oakes, a former soldier. He's just got out of the Army, and he had a pretty harsh combat tour in Afghanistan and was later diagnosed with PTSD.
Well, let's listen.
I had night terrors, and I would always be on edge, or some little stuff would go on, or I'd have to check the gate at night because we do have a gate, make sure it's locked, make sure the doors are locked, and just got to a routine that was irritating my wife and adding stress to her as well. What's going to happen if I drink alcohol? What's going to happen if she wakes me up in the middle of the night? Am I going to do this again? I was really worried about my marriage and about the fear I put inside my wife that I could possibly harm her. Went through some medications. A lot of them I didn't see much other than the normal zombie story that everyone gives you. Makes you dead to the world. And then Dr. Bartosik, he was the one that said, hey, you know, we got this ganglion block. It's something new. We actually inject stuff into your neck. I don't have to get them as much anymore because the stress level has went down. But it's definitely been one of the key stepping stones of putting my life back together after dealing with issues.
That service member Dennis Oakes, who received a new treatment for PTSD that we're talking about today, said he has to go less frequently. About how frequently do you go in these treatments?
Well, the literature that's been published so far says, you know, up to maybe 3 months or so. He said that initially he got them a little bit more frequently than that, and I think he's up to 4 months now on his most recent one is what he said. And, you know, some of the people who've gotten it have described it as miraculous and said, you know, just in minutes they feel a substantial change. Now, Dennis didn't say that exactly, but he did say that what it did do was give him something maybe even more important than just feeling great all of a sudden, which is that it gave him space, time-wise, to kind of think through what he's doing rather than react instantly and instinctively and maybe with a bad instinct to some sort of stimulus. You know, like he got in an argument with one of his tenants. He's got a rental house. And he said he thought that if he had not had this treatment, that it would have turned to violence, that he just would have reacted instinctively and made a bad move here.
Well, let's talk about maybe how this is working or other the impact that it might have. You talked with research epidemiologist Christine Ray Olmsted at RTI International, which is conducting the trials and one of the leaders of the study. Let's listen to what she has to say.
The existing treatment options for PTSD really aren't acceptable to a large proportion of people. Also, there are some people who go through those treatment modalities and end up not feeling any better. And so I think there's tremendous interest in this stellate ganglion block as a potential treatment modality because, one, it's biological in nature. People like to think that something that they're experiencing in their head as a psychiatric disorder could potentially be medically caused, and so this is a medical treatment. And then also, the anecdotal evidence is that the treatment is pretty fast acting. And so, you know, there are reports in the literature of people sitting up on the table and feeling better after receiving a stellate ganglion block.
That's Christine Ray Olmsted of RTI International conducting trials on a new and possibly highly effective therapeutic method for treating PTSD, and we're talking about it today on the state of things. Talking with Jay Price, WNC military reporter. Are there any side effects? I mean, in the immediate aftermath, do you go numb? What happens to you?
Yeah, there's some, you know, fairly minor things. You'll see redness in one eye. Your face will be a little numb. You might feel some numbness elsewhere. And they generally, I think, tell people not to drive, for example. They try to get them to have someone bring them to and from the procedure. But, you know, within a day or so, everything's, you know, back to normal and hopefully a little better.
What about the cost? How does it compare to other treatments that are being used now?
Well, the cost isn't substantial. I mean, these local anesthetics that they use to inject, there are a couple of them, are not expensive. They've been around for a long time. This is one of the kind of things that underlines the importance of government-sponsored science. I mean, this isn't a treatment that's going to bring in profits for a large drug company in a big way. It's pretty cheap to do. And, you know, who else is going to do this except government?
Right, right. Well, and government-sponsored medicine, for that matter, the VA, which is roughly a big portion of our medical care in America. What does anybody have any speculation about how this is working and why it works?
Well, there are a couple of theories about it, and they're really, really complicated. And, you know, this is kind of on the kind of cutting edge of kind of looking at where the mind and the body come together. You know, instead of just thinking of psychological, psychiatric things and physical things as being completely separate from each other. But, you know, they're just theories for now.
Right. And she talked about, Catherine Ray Olmsted talked about good for people for whom other therapies might not have been appropriate. Who might they be? And maybe the converse of this question is, does this look like it might be appropriate for everyone? Or are there only certain forms of PTSD or certain causes that might make this more effective? Or do we don't know yet?
Well, you know, there are a bunch of reasons why treatments might not be hyper-effective. One of them is some people might find the treatments are, taking too much of their time up and they just can't be, you know, it's just a lot of commuting back and forth to get some sort of group therapy or to do some cognitive therapy. They can also find that the drugs that are being used Sergeant Oaks told me, essentially turned him into a zombie. And, you know, that doesn't work if you want to remain employed, especially for some jobs where certain drugs that affect you in those ways aren't allowed at all. I mean, you know, in the military, you can think of some pretty crucial things right off the bat, like parachute rigger, for example. That's not where, you know, you want somebody who isn't completely with it. You know, and it's also true that this is one of those things that can be expanded out to the civilian population. Trauma and stress aren't just things that apply to combat veterans.
I've only got about a few seconds left, but trials at three hospitals, any idea how long these trials go on and when we might have more results?
They're going to wind this up toward the end of 2017, finish the research, write it all up. Hopefully by 2018, they'll know something. And if it's positive, you know, it could be expanded out to the VA and more civilian use, kind of more widespread acceptance as a treatment. If it's negative, they pledge to try to their best to get this stuff published in peer review journals because it is important. And there are a lot of people paying a lot of attention to this particular study, and they want to know if it's effective or not.
All right, Jay, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Jay Price, WNC military reporter with the American Homefront Project. You can find out more about his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, storytelling about one of the most complex topics, God. Talk with the Mounties founder, Jeff Polish, on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.